who will be in the inaugural class of the Aviation Educator Hall of Fame. A bankruptcy judge has delayed ruling on American Airlines contract negotiations, and the Red Steel Jet Team suffers a fatal loss. This is Aero News for Tuesday, May 22, 2012. I'm Glenn Moyer. Preparations are underway for the induction ceremonies of the inaugural class of honorees into the Aviation Educator Hall of Fame. A group of more than 20 aviation organizations and individuals, led by a 3-member board of directors, recently established the Aviation Educator Hall of Fame. According to the new organization's charter, AEHOF's purpose is twofold. One, the selection and recognition of qualified nominees who, through extraordinary achievement and service, have made outstanding contributions to aviation education. And two, the public honoring of these individuals for their contributions to the development, advancement, and promotion of aviation education. Begun in 2010 as an initiative of the Society of Aviation and Flight Educators, the SAFE board granted authorization to proceed with AEHOF as an independent organization in late 2011. Any person or group may nominate an individual for induction into the AEHOF. Nominations for the Hall's inaugural class of inductees are due by October the 1st, 2012. On a personal note, my first flight instructor was my high school band director, who learned to fly thanks to his GI Bill benefits, and who went on to establish one of the first accredited aviation courses for high schools in Texas back in 1970. He passed away just a little over a year ago, so let the selection committee be forewarned. I'll be drafting one nomination for their consideration. The U.S. Bankruptcy Court Judge Sean Lane now says he will rule by June 6th on American Airlines' request to reject its union's contracts. The timeline is a couple of weeks away yet, but still within the 30 days required by the U.S. Bankruptcy Code. Judge Lane said the case requires more time due to the complexity of the case and the lengthy testimony provided on the motions, according to a report in the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. The change has been acknowledged by both AMR Corporation and the APA, which represents the airline's pilots. On its website, APA says it has agreed to begin mediation proceedings with the airline management and has a full team prepared to engage with management. American Airlines has also agreed to the mediation. Other unions involved include the Association of Professional Flight Attendants and the Transportation Workers. Meanwhile, just north of the border, a 10-day effort by Air Canada pilots to negotiate a new agreement with that airline has failed, sending the dispute to federally legislated arbitration. Both the pilots and the airline expressed their disappointment at not being able to reach an agreement. The pilots will now prepare a final offer for submission to federal arbitrator Doug Stanley in compliance with the 90-day process legislated by the Canadian federal government. The Air Canada Pilots Association represents the 3,000 pilots who operate Air Canada's mainline fleet. Red Steel Jet Team pilot Douglas Gillis was fatally injured Friday afternoon when the L-39 he was flying to Van Nuys, California, went down on takeoff from Boulder City Airport in Nevada. Also fatally injured was a passenger aboard the aircraft, 65-year-old Richard Winslow of Palm Desert, California. After arrival in Van Nuys, Gillis was to have flown commercially to Kansas City to join the team for a performance at Whiteman Air Force Base. Instead, the team dedicated the performance to his memory. At Boulder City, witnesses said the L-39 lost power just after takeoff and went down in the desert just west of the airport. Gillis did manage to declare an emergency just before the plane went down. Well, despite our reminders to check the NOTAMs last week, you knew it was going to happen. Military aircraft under the direction of the North American Aerospace Defense Command, that's NORAD, intercepted two Cessna 172 general aviation aircraft in the vicinity of Camp David, Maryland last Friday. The permanent restricted area over the presidential retreat had been expanded from the usual 20 to a new 60 nautical miles in diameter, with a TFR due to the G8 summit being held there over the weekend. Both civilian aircraft were out of radio communication. The first was intercepted by a NORAD F-15 Eagle at approximately 19:03 Eastern Daylight Time and departed the temporary flight restricted area, then landed at York Airport in Pennsylvania. The second Cessna was intercepted by an F-15 and an HH-60 Black Hawk helicopter at approximately 19:17 Eastern Daylight Time and departed the TFR and landed on a grass runway in Pennsylvania. Law enforcement interviewed both pilots. Politico reports that neither pilot was determined to be a threat to the president or any of the other leaders attending the summit. While the odds are better than even that those pilots simply failed to check NOTAMs, the National Air Transportation Association Vice President Eric Beyer is blasting the FAA and the White House for those pop-up TFRs. Beyer wrote in his blog Inside Washington yesterday that a last-minute presidential visit to New York City the previous Monday, quote, threw the aviation community into turmoil, end quote. President Obama traveled to New York City for an appearance on ABC's The View and to deliver the commencement address at Barnard College. The president's flight into JFK shut down the airspace over New York City, including shutting down operations at TEB from 1100 to 1600, with the TFR issued only a half an hour earlier. Beyer said that once again, general aviation suffered disproportionately. He acknowledges that protecting the president is critical, but questioned if commerce wasn't more important than an appearance on a TV show and a college commencement speech. Beyer challenged others upset with these TFRs to use the power of the vote. He said, quote, to remember these TFRs and the impact they have on your business and life when you walk into the polling station on November the 6th, end quote. When Aero News continues, American Airlines has more than just union contracts to worry about. A Piedmont pilot learns that no one is above the law. And was it UFO or a UAV over Denver?
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher-performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Aero News continues now for Tuesday, May 22nd. I'm Glenn Moyer. Well, two frequent flyers are suing American Airlines over the suspension of their unlimited lifetime air passes purchased back in 1987. 66 people bought the air pass for $350,000 before the program was discontinued. Steve Rothstein has flown nearly 40 million miles on American Airlines' dime since buying his pass. He's been to Zurich, Frankfurt, Munich, and France dozens of times. London, he says, approximately 500 or 600 times in his lifetime. AirPass holders became American Airlines VIPs with virtually unlimited first-class flight options for themselves and a companion. But there's unlimited, and then there's unlimited. 3 years ago, American cracked down, canceling his AirPass after an investigation found the airlines were losing millions of dollars to these extreme frequent flyers. The airline also says Rothstein abused the system by booking flights he never planned to use. Rothstein says he didn't do anything wrong and is suing the airline to get his pass back. Another AirPass holder, Jacques Vroom, also was investigated by the airline and had his pass revoked. Vroom is also suing American to get the pass back. A spokeswoman for American said cases like Rothstein's and Vroom's are an extremely small percentage of overall AirPass accounts, but that fraudulent activity cost all of American's customers money. Their litigation is on hold, however, due to American's Chapter 11 filing late in 2011. Piedmont Airlines pilot Brad Dieter was arrested yesterday in Buffalo, New York, after attempting to board a flight to LaGuardia with a loaded .357 pistol concealed in his luggage. Dieter had reportedly flown on 7 other flights with the weapon in his bag prior to it being discovered by a TSA screener in Buffalo. Since 9/11, it's not unusual for pilots to be packing pistols, but that's on flights where they're in command, not flying as passengers. Dieter was released but has a future date in federal court. He could face 10 years jail time and a $250,000 fine. U.S. Attorney William J. Hochul Jr. said, quote, while under certain circumstances, certain government officials, such as sworn law enforcement officers, are allowed to travel with firearms on airplanes, the law is clear regarding the steps that must be taken before a gun is brought onto a plane. In today's day and age, we simply can't afford to have anyone ignoring these important regulations, all of which are designed to protect the traveling public. End quote. And speaking of the traveling public, for the third straight year, Mesa Air Group has achieved top honors among U.S. regional airlines for for on-time arrivals in March 2012, as reported by the U.S. Department of Transportation, Bureau of Transportation Statistics, in the Air Travel Consumer Report, the industry-recognized measure of performance. Mesa's operational performance has ranked it as the number one on-time regional airline every month since April 2010. In addition, Mesa was ranked first among regional carriers with the fewest mishandled bags and was ranked first among all airlines for having the fewest complaints per 100,000 passengers carried. Mesa Airlines operates as U.S. Airways Express and United Express under contractual agreements with U.S. Airways and United Airlines, respectively, and independently as GO, a low-fare airline which is about to enter its sixth year of offering low fares to visitors and residents of Hawaii as the second-largest inter-island airline based on passengers carried. An unidentified object over Denver has led to an FAA investigation. The object appeared Monday when the pilot of a Cessna Citation CJ-1 flying at 8,000 feet MSL called ATC to report, quote, a remote-controlled aircraft, or what? Something just went by the other way about 20 to 30 seconds ago. It was like a large remote-controlled aircraft, end quote, said the pilot. USA Today reports that speculation so far has been that the object was a military or law enforcement drone, a radio-controlled aircraft, or a large bird. Drone aircraft are going through the process of being approved by the FAA to operate in airspace with manned aircraft. So far, this approval has not yet been granted. The technology for maintaining separation between manned aircraft and UAVs has not yet been perfected, which is one very important reason why UAVs are not yet cleared to share the same airspace. Of course, in the unlikely chance it was ET flying whatever it was that the Citation pilot saw last week, do you really think he's going to be concerned with busting the FARs and fearful of getting a 10-day letter from the FAA? Well, I'd bet ET is probably phoning home even as I speak, and that reminds me it's time for me to do the same. If you enjoy these AeroCasts, please tell your friends about them. If not, well, drop me a pie rep at gmoyer@aero-news.net. That's G-M-O-Y-E-R at A-E-R-O-N-E-W-S.net. I trust you know how to spell net. Hey, thanks for listening. I'm Glenn Moyer, and you're now cleared for departure.